Welcome, everyone, to episode 21 of The Mentor's Voice. I'm Chris Moorman, president of Marcentum, and I'm here with my co-host, Christy Kramer from Leading Age. Christy, who is our mentor today?
Thanks, Chris. Our mentor today is Tiffany Nicolette, and she's the Vice President of Housing and Services for Comprehensive Housing Assistance in Baltimore, Baltimore, Maryland, right where I am right now. Tiffany serves on the board of Leading Age Maryland and co-chairs the Housing Committee for Age-Friendly Baltimore County. So we have a housing leader in our presence today, and it's going to be a great episode.
Awesome. Maryland in the house. We are excited for all the good things that are happening in the great state of Maryland, beyond just the good crabs that are there. So excited to hear what Tiffany has to share. And we also have a new student interviewer, Deira Graves, who is a recent Georgetown University graduate who was lucky enough to participate in the awesome summer enrichment program as an intern at Asbury Communities. So thankful for your work, Christy, in the summer enrichment program with these students and getting them connected. Our whole vision for the Mentor's Voice, right?
Yeah. So Deira is a graduate of Georgetown. She was trying to figure out what she wanted to do after receiving her healthcare administration degree. And she did this internship and was really swayed into aging services. So I'm very excited. She's actually going to be starting an administrator and training program at Asbury this coming fall. So I think we have a new future leader of aging services at Deira. So welcome to Deira, to the Mentor's Voice.
Our work here is done. But we are excited to bring you episode 21 of the Mentor's Voice today, featuring Tiffany Nicolette, and we hope that you enjoy listening.
Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. It's so nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. I'm happy you're here, and it's great to see a face.
Yeah, absolutely. Yours too.
All right. So thank you so much for joining. I'm so excited to conduct this podcast episode. So you are Tiffany Nicolette. Happy to see you. So your role is Vice President of Housing and Services with Housing Assistance Incorporated, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I'm really excited to get the interview started, and you have your questions in front of you. I have mine, and go ahead and get started. So I do want to start off with an icebreaker, which was my extra question, but favorite streaming platform and show?
So I get serious decision fatigue, and I look at the menu of a streaming platform and I'm like totally overwhelmed and stressed out. And I've never been super big into television anyway. But when it was time for me, I do like to have a show to watch. And so when it was time for me to choose a new show to watch, I went with The Sopranos. And yeah, it's like 20 years old, but I remember people saying it was good. And so I'm just finally getting around to checking it out. And so far, so good.
A lot of seasons, right?
Yes. Yeah. Something to keep me busy for a while.
Yeah. That's great. I always love that too, because I have a hard time making decisions as well. So yeah. I really got into The Crown over the past few, over the past few months. So that was a really interesting show, just because, you know, Meghan Markle really put the royal family on the map in our view. So that was a really interesting show. So moving on to another question. So I think a major part of being a great mentor, right, and leader is letting folks get to know your not so professional side, your fun side, personal side. So tell us about yourself. What keeps you refreshed and feeling balanced, so when you start your work day, you are charged?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a husband and two rescued dachshunds. I volunteer with the dachshund rescue whenever I can. And I also just like learning new skills, and particularly I like learning creative skills. And so lately I've been doing some sewing, just kind of dabbling. I learned to make a skirt. I made my first dress. And just this spring I took a pottery class. Truth be told, I wasn't very good at pottery, but it was fun and it was like nice to learn something new. And what really energizes me and keeps me literally balanced is practicing yoga. You know, it's something that's good for the mind and good for the body and just, you know, helps you approach the day with a really balanced view.
That's wonderful. And do you also practice mindfulness while you do yoga? Do you kind of drift a little bit?
Yeah. Yes. And that's the wonderful thing about yoga is that it's always a practice. You know, it's not a performance. It's not like something that you go and do. You're always practicing because every time you get better. And some of that is, holding positions and flexibility, but also mindfulness and being able to focus your energy and your thoughts on one thing and not drift off.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Awesome. I really have to give it to folks that are able to practice it and also stay still.
Yeah.
That is a talent. So thank you for that. Alisa has taken on the privilege of finding the next generation of leaders in aging services. So in my current internship with Asbury Communities, I've had the pleasure of working under 3 executive directors who are women and prime examples of leadership. So I wanted to know, more about your own personal experiences. I've seen that women, being a woman in this space, and especially in a leadership role, can be quite challenging at the same time as it is rewarding. So could you speak on your personal experiences?
Sure. Being a leader is challenging no matter who you are. And sometimes you have to be super take charge and decisive. And other times you have to be very collaborative and innovative and creative. And it's not just enough to have those traits and skills. What makes a leader truly successful is, you know, knowing when to use which skill. It takes a special person to succeed in leadership, particularly in aging services, because you have to be empathetic and compassionate and business-minded at the same time. And so, you know, there have been times for me where I found myself having a really difficult, somber conversation with a resident's family member, you know, maybe about their loved one's decline, and then having to immediately switch gears and run into a board meeting and present. And, you know, it's really a balancing act and approaching situations with that empathy and with an open heart, and then being able to go and think about a budget. So it really is a balancing act.
Wow. And I imagine so. And my next question really has to do with COVID related impacts, right? And how I've seen in this organization, you might need to have transitioned to more of like autocratic decision-making. This is what it is. And we can't really have too much collaboration going on right now because this is what needs to happen from an operational standpoint. But how has COVID impacted your own personal work and even your own leadership style during that period?
So when COVID first hit, not only was I working full time in the aging services field, but I was also in grad school and I was like wrapping up my last, you know, couple of months at grad school. So it was challenging and demanding to say the least. There were so many uncertainties kind of bouncing around, but we just had to jump in and handle it the best way that we knew how. It was nonstop problem solving. And like you said, sometimes we had to make decisions right on the spot. And sometimes we were able to kind of talk it through with our teams a little more. Many of the services that we offered, so it was like a lot of social activities, and we have a grocery shuttle that takes people grocery shopping. You know, we had to stop those things out of concern for the residents' health. But we also knew that those services that we were offering were really meeting basic needs. And so we had to kind of get creative and think about how can we best meet those needs while also keeping our residents safe. And so we did a lot of exploring with technology. We did activity bags that, you know, we filled with activity books and hung on everyone's door. And as far as food goes, we actually wrote some grants and created a mobile groceries program and partnered with the Maryland Food Bank as well as some other organizations to actually bring food to our residents on site, bring groceries and supplies as well as, Meals on Wheels, which is able to bring them some meals.
Yeah, amazing. And I am really touched by that work because in my undergraduate career, I took a serious interest in food insecurity, especially on campus. And so it's such a major issue. I'm just curious to know a little bit more about that and specifically how those operations, how difficult it was to kind of get that going, seeing that there was definitely an increased demand, not just in your organization, but I'm sure everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, we jumped into action right away. So we shut down operations in about mid-March when everything went crazy. And by early April, we were up and running. We just, you know, we just reached out to any organization that we could, that we knew was in the area. And particularly we worked very well with Hungry Harvest, which does like discounted imperfect produce and things like that. We just developed a partnership right away. And we were able to just figure out the logistics of getting these boxes delivered. So we used staff who was, you know, not being utilized because their regular job was on pause because of COVID. They weren't able to safely do it. And so we were able to just kind of repurpose staff to make it happen. And it was all hands on deck. I mean, it was just like, go, go, go. And we did it for the first 6 months of COVID until people started feeling a little more comfortable. We learned a little more about the virus and PPE was more readily available and people could start venturing out on their own.
Wow, amazing. Just making it happen, right?
Yeah, that's right. No other choice.
And speaking on forming partnerships, developing partnerships and coalitions, I'm kind of going off script here, but I just want to know a little bit about that in your role as a leader, asking for help. As a leading age intern, we've gone through a series of kind of leadership development trainings. And one thing that keeps coming up is asking for help. And I just am curious to know that if at any point in your leadership roles, you were reluctant to, why, you know, or you really needed to, and you did it anyway, and you kind of deferred or gave away that expertise or lended that need to someone else, or you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do. So I think partnerships are so important, especially in leadership. And the reason is, as a leader, you've already got so much on your plate and your expertise may not be someone else's expertise. And so we all have our strengths and weaknesses. And so as a leader, you really need to form partnerships with people and organizations that fill the gaps for you. And so that for you and or your organization to meet needs of the whole person, you know, and having that holistic approach, be it leading a team or be it providing services, filling the gaps and making sure that we are doing everything that we can for folks is of the utmost importance. And we just don't, there's not enough time in the day or enough energy or enough knowledge to do it alone. So you really have to capitalize on those partnerships and really make it happen. And I've always been very willing to help too. So even when we had the that mobile grocery program up and running, we knew that there were people outside of our service area that weren't necessarily, because we serve a pretty limited geographic area. And we knew that there were some folks out there that were living in their own homes and not our senior housing communities that still needed groceries. And so we reached out to Maryland Access Point and worked with them to be able to meet some of the needs of seniors that live close by our service area so that we could get food to their homes, you know, and it was like we were able to provide what we had. And in turn, they're able to provide us services and connections to services that they have.
That's great. That's great. And I hope each and every one of the mentees listening right now are taking their notes, you know? So earlier you touched a little bit on having finished your, or being in your graduate educational program. And so I wanted to know, how did you decide what formal education worked best for you? What route to take? Even what degree to choose?
So I decided to go back to grad school. I had been in the workforce for a while, and I had about 8 years of aging services under my belt already, and I loved it. And I just decided, you know, now it's time to really seal the deal and enroll in grad school. And so I enrolled. UMBC here in Baltimore has an aging services management program. And I knew that to further my career, I was going to need some more formal education. And I wanted to make sure that I was doing something that, or learning something that was applicable to what I was doing every day. Mm-hmm. And I felt like this degree really balanced that business side as well as educating me about the aging side. And you know, also the leadership side. It was very well-rounded class selection. And I feel like it prepared me well for what I do.
That's great. And so kind of rewinding even further, your undergraduate and that kind of previous education, what has that career journey been like for you, starting kind of way back when? Not to say way back when, but...
But it was way back when, so it's all good. And I'm okay with that. So my path to the aging service industry wasn't a direct one. So I've always been very self-aware. And even as a kid, I knew what I liked doing. I knew what my passions were. But that said, I wasn't exactly sure how to take those passions and translate it to a viable career. And, you know, at the time when you're in high school and you're like, got to pick a major, it may sound horrible to say, but I didn't know that I didn't know about the aging services field existed beyond nursing homes. You know, so I went to school for something I liked doing, which is creative arts. And you know, I got my degree in art. I worked as a designer for a year out of college and thought to myself, you know, I don't know that this sitting behind a desk creating is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And so I did some trying some different things, some I liked, some I didn't. But from all of them, I was able to gain some transferable skills that really helped me forge my way. And in 2010, I entered the aging services field via affordable senior housing. And then once I got there, I knew it was for me. I knew this is where I belonged. And so I guess you could say I took the scenic route to get here, but you know, that's why I'm so thankful for organizations like Leading Age and programs like the mentoring program, because haven't been given the opportunity when I was in high school to learn about what else was out there. My path probably would have been more direct instead of hopping around and trying to figure it out. But I didn't know. And so that's why I really appreciate programs like this, because people can really learn all of the different ways that aging services, or all of the different, you know, subfields within the aging services field that there are.
Yes. And I'm thankful too. Thank you so much for that. I was hoping that you would touch on it. In my own journey, you learn that the path, the career journey is not always so linear, despite the kind of thoughts or preconceived notions that you do have when you come out of school or even go into school. So thank you for giving that personal anecdote and allowing us to hear that, because I think that matters and those stories should be shared too.
Yes.
What piece of advice would you give to a young professional at any point on their career journey?
So I have two. And the two pieces of advice that I feel are the most important is, first, don't rush into grad school. I feel like it's really good to kind of, I feel like I benefited personally from exploring what was out there and exactly what field or subfield I kind of wanted to really dive into. Because once you get into grad school, you're really specializing. And so had I done that right after college, I would have ended up with a master's in art, and who knows where I would have been. But now I feel like I'm truly working in my calling. So that's one. The second is network, just growing your network of people. So it's great to form relationships with others that are working in the field, not only for job opportunities, but for, you know, exchanging ideas, learning from each other, and sometimes just having somebody to vent to. You know, this could be a very emotionally trying field sometimes. And, you know, you want somebody who, you want a team or folks around you that understand what you might be going through, because maybe they've experienced it or something similar. You know, and I think we probably saw a lot of that, and a lot of the aging services field really come together when we were going through the really serious throes of COVID, you know, we were able to kind of reach out to our partnering organizations or our colleagues and get ideas and bounce things off of each other and share information, because there was so much information coming at us all the time. It was, you know, one person could read one article and another person could read another article, and we could come together and kind of share the best practices. You know, aging services is a unique field, and it's just great to have connections who share your passion.
Absolutely. And that collaboration piece that you touched on earlier is phenomenal. I think what COVID has really shown us over the past year is we really can't do it alone, and social isolation sucks. So I think that it's really great to hear that you had the opportunity to collaborate and rely on the folks that are in your industry. My last question has to do with mentorship. This is called The Mentor's Voice. So it's a podcast that is meant to help guide young leaders along their professional journey. So what should we be looking for in a mentor? And do you have a personal example of what mentorship looked like for you?
Yeah, I think number one is, you know, it's kind of a no-brainer, but, you know, you have to be recruiting and working with mentors who really want to be mentors, because, you know, we need people that are going to set aside the time to prepare, to, you know, make sure that it's going to be a meaningful experience, because mentorship really does take some time and effort. And secondly, I really think that the key here is diversity, you know, and that's to create long-lasting connections. The pool of mentors should be as diverse as the mentees. And I'm talking like different genders, races, income levels, education levels, background, career experience, communication style, you know, you name it. This programs like this really create an opportunity for people to connect, you know, over their commonalities, but also grow with, you know, for their differences. And so personally, for me, I've always learned the most from mentors that have been able to challenge me to think differently. And, you know, maybe we didn't always agree on something, but being able to have that back and forth discussion, or, you know, them opening my eyes to like a different way of thinking or a different point of view, you know, that's where personal and professional growth really happens. You know, it comes from expanding your view and seeing things through someone else's eyes. And I think that that overall just helps you make better decisions.
That was a phenomenal answer. And I'm taking down my notes. So I want to give a huge thank you for coming to today's podcast session and really giving us the real. I will continue to utilize your words and hopefully look for a mentor in you.
Leading Age, the trusted voice in aging, in partnership with Markentum, a marketing agency focused on the field of aging, is excited to present you with The Mentor's Voice. We believe that conversation between our field's mentors and the next generation of students and young professionals is vital for the ongoing success in the field of aging. Each episode of The Mentor's Voice podcast will feature a student or young professional interviewing a mentor. Through this conversation, The Mentor's Voice gives us all an opportunity to learn from each other, new and seasoned alike. Thanks so much for listening to episode 21 of The Mentor's Voice, featuring Tiffany Nicolette. We hope that you enjoyed hearing about all the good work that she's doing. Speaking of good work that's happening in the world in aging services, Christy, tell us a little bit more about what's going on with Leading Age right now.
So right now, the annual meeting is our prime focus, and I'm so excited to have an incredible student program planned out. If you are a student out there and haven't registered to attend the annual meeting, check it out. It's in Atlanta, Georgia. There is a very discounted student registration fee of $25. And if you have any faculty members at your universities that want to attend as well, they are also welcome to apply for a discounted registration as well. So we hope to see you all there. We're going to have a booth, right, Chris?
Yes, we are. We're excited because Christy and I have never actually met in person. This podcast was born through the period of pandemic, early 2020. We were talking about crazy timelines and how bonkers it is that we're getting so close to 2022. But here we are at Leading Age annual meeting in 2021, and you will get to meet Chris and Christy, hosts of the Mentor's Voice. So look for our booth. We're excited to connect with you as well. So whether you're a student or you're interested in being a mentor, we would love to get to know you, meet you, and we look forward to that time. Anything else that you want to add, Christy, about our awesome booth setup that we're putting together?
Planning an awesome little setup. We're also going to have a reception. So come on and check it out. We'll have some fun things for you.
Absolutely. So again, thanks for listening today. Be sure to subscribe and follow The Mentor's Voice on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And we look forward to seeing you soon.